Hey guys, welcome back. Happy New Year. It's 2024. We are back. We have some announcements to share with you guys. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about the Cat Williams Illuminati. Everything's being revealed. Gypsy Rose is happy about that D that she's getting. And, you know, we're going to talk about all that stuff here on the show live. Welcome back, guys. I'm your host, Chris Fagan. Welcome back to a new year, a new day. It's T3 Media Studios. Talking to Me is live. Now, I'm going to introduce our panel here. Welcome, returning champion, back after a hiatus. I'm going to say it like that. A hiatus.
Yeah, it's a hiatus.
Yeah, we got not Tyler Causey. I forgot to fix that.
But I told you to fix it.
I was told to fix that, but I will do it once I the camera changes.
Yeah, we just don't. That is not Tyler.
That is who is that? I can't even recognize her anymore. That's all. Yes, Tabs. Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
hello.
And also, the person is always like, "I already told you to do that." I told you so. Val the Fagan.
Rightfully so.
Oh, guys, like I said, we have some topics to go over. If you guys don't mind, if you want to become a member to get all the ends over here, like, I'm going to put it like that. If you want to be on the in crowd, support the channel and support us on that level. I appreciate you guys. Become a member. We're this year, I got a whole bunch of new stuff to announce. We're going to have some great things for our viewers, for our channel members, for our supporters and stuff like that. So as the weeks come by, I'm going to tell you exactly what the new perks are for 2024, the 2024 perks. Don't worry about 2023. Those were the old perks. We got the new perks now. Don't worry about that. Listen to us on our podcast. We have our podcast. If you don't want to catch us on our live stream here on Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, maybe we're not on Instagram now. On TikTok and all that other stuff, on YouTube, you can also catch our podcast and you can listen to us at the gym, because there's nothing more soothing than my voice when you're on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Any trips and falls, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
No, all right, I'm just letting you guys know. But
the thunderstorm.
here on the thunderstorm here at T3 Media Studios. One of the new announcements, guys, if you're joining us in the chat, one of the things that is going to be happening, I'm going to announce it right now. We're going to have, babe, if you don't mind, I think you got your tablet already. I put Joy in charge of this. We have a game that's going to be played with you guys. So there's a hashtag movie quotes game.
Okay.
So throughout the stream, you'll see a hashtag with an acronym of a movie quote. You guys have to figure out what these quotes are. These are classic movies. There's about to be five of them about to come up periodically throughout the chat. And once you get the hashtag, you'll get a shout out if you're the ones who figured it out. I'm going to shout out all the people who can figure them out correctly. If you don't figure them out, if you guess incorrectly, you will be punished. And the person who will punish you severely will be this lady right here. She will.
Nah.
She dishes it out.
Nah, not me. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no. Those types of punishments you have to pay extra for. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. I charge for that.
She's not going to charge for
okay?
Don't be putting my services out here for free.
Get it right.
I also meant to, because I see Navigator Nixon just donated a super chat of $4.99.
Because she probably didn't want it read.
Probably, but I meant to change the settings to make all super chats red and on our chat box. And I was getting the show set up and I was going to change that from, because right now it's $5. If you do a $5 super chat and you send it in, a robot will read it out loud. It'll interrupt the show.
Oh, nice.
It'll read the super chat and it'll give you a shout out.
Very nice.
Like that. So, yeah. But at $4.99, I don't think it's going to click in. So, I don't know if she did that. Like you said, she did that on purpose or not, but that's kind of cool. Appreciate it. What does it say, babe? You have control of it as well. You can pop it. Can you pop it up? If you got it, you can click on
Nixon.
It. Nope, on the right. There you go.
You
go scroll up. There you go.
Yeah, then you click on it.
Let's see if it works or not. $4.99, it might not work. No, it's not going to work.
Happy New Year, y'all.
But it is a happy new
Looking
year.
Forward to tonight's show.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right.
Miss you too, Nixon.
One of the other new announcements here. We just hit 11,000 subscribers. So thank you guys for 11,000. So yeah, thanks guys. Appreciate it. All right, we finally made that goal. The new goal, that was the old goal. The new goal, 20,000 subscribers before the end of 2024.
Okay.
What do you think? Can we make it?
I mean, we could definitely try.
We definitely try. That means no. unless we go super viral for
First
something.
First of all, that does not mean no. That means we can try. It just means there's no disappointment if it doesn't make it.
Yeah. If you never try, you'll never be disappointed. That's the lesson for 2024. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. If you like it, I love it. Party on. One of the other new announcements. Welcome to this show is we are not on the rundown. I'm glad that I saw Tabitha telling all her social media followers on TikTok, it's called the rundown. I'm like, no.
He has to do it. It's gonna change next year too.
No, actually, we have gone back. The answer is right behind you. We have gone back to the original name of this show, the Talking Through the Media's Live. We are back to. I did a poll on all of our socials, and I gave a couple of options. One was Inbox, EN/box for entertainment news and box office. That was my favorite, Inbox. But I don't think people didn't like Mm-mm. it. The other, what was the other one I had on there, babe?
Across the Streams.
Across the Streams.
I'm not opposed to Across the Streams.
Yeah, all right. That was second place.
Yeah, I'm not
When I averaged out, I put a poll up on TikTok. I mean, on Twitter, on YouTube, and everything. And the original title won. Do some shameless plugs on some products. I always call it official, unofficial.
Yeah.
Commercials.
Yeah.
So I'm officially, unofficially sponsored by the people who made Joy's chair. I made a little commercial on TikTok about that. Like that.
I bought this chair. Back in April, May, a while back.
And if you want that chair, click on our link on T3Media/shop and you can.
All of a sudden got popular on TikTok.
Yeah. She bought that damn chair a year before it got hot.
I was like, I have that chair.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
I dig it. It is a nice looking chair. I even said it when I walked in today.
Yeah. I want that chair. I'm like, no. You got to get your own. T3Media.com/shop. Other than that, I mentioned the super chat bot. I'm going to change the super chat bot to any donation. So usually it's set at $5 or more. If you send a super chat in, it'll read it out.
By the way, do they have that chair in black?
Yes.
Yeah, they had a lot of colors.
Yeah. Y'all want to get me that chair in black? I'm so for that.
Yeah. Tabs down with the brown. Yeah.
That phrase can be taken so many different ways. I'm scared.
You know what she's into. All right, guys. All right, let's get on to let's start the show off with headlines. Let's start it off. What's the first thing topic of the week? Of the new year.
Of the new year. Mm. Stephen
Yeun
is sorry that he dropped out of Marvel's Thunderbolts and cites the strike and scheduling issues. I want to do a Marvel movie. Stephen spoke to Variety's Mark Malkin about his Thunderbolts exit, citing last year's SAG-AFTRA strike as one reason behind his decision to drop out of the upcoming anti-hero film. I think for me, time passing and things shifting kind of pulled me out of it. But Jake, I know, is going to do an incredible job, and I want to do a Marvel movie, he added. Thunderbolts paused production in May due to the WGA strike and has yet to begin filming following the end of the dual Hollywood strikes. When asked what Marvel movie he would like to work on in the future, Yoon replied, I think it's too early to say that. I probably pissed off too many people leaving, so I'm just going to say, thank you for having me. I have some ideas, but I heard if you put it out there, you'll never get it, so I'm going to keep it close to my chest.
We all know this actor from The Walking Dead. That's when I was first introduced to him. One of my favorite characters on The Walking Dead. So I was excited.
Him wrong.
I don't know much about the character that he's playing in Marvel, but I am looking forward to the Thunderbolts. So I was looking forward to him playing that character. But when that whole thing happened a couple of weeks ago, when he did an interview, and because he has another show called what's that show, that cartoon on Amazon,
Invincible.
Yeah, he's the voice actor of that character Invincible on Amazon. I don't know if you've seen Invincible. Mm-mm. It's great. It's a great show.
Okay.
The creator of Invincible was doing an interview and blurted out that he was in Marvel. That his lead actor, voice actor in his show, is also about to be this character in Marvel before Marvel was ready to come out with it. So it was like, now did he get into a little trouble? Is that why he has to back out? I know they don't like leaks, but it didn't seem like he was in any kind of trouble. But for him backing out, now he's saying that, you know, he's, you know, it's for whatever reasons. I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. I'm hoping that that Marvel won't blacklist him. That's just me. I mean, we'll just get into the geeky side.
That there's, you know, a lot of these actors have multiple projects.
Yeah.
And they are spaced out to accommodate doing multiple things at once. But when this strike halted everything and then it restarted, everybody's now scrambling to start filming all at the same time, which would lead to, like, look, I got 3 or 4 projects and they all want to go at the same time, so I can't do them all.
So you're buying it. You're buying this excuse.
So it's,
you buy it.
The highest bidder wins.
Yeah, it is a logical assessment of the situation, especially like you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, we had the strike. No one was doing anything. Everything comes back up, and everybody's scrambling to get their stuff back started. Yeah. Well, what about these people that had things mapped out and planned out? That obviously is going to affect things. So I would hope that the people running these productions and understanding that you can't all just demand everything. You're going to get refused. People are going to have to pick and choose.
I'm sure it wasn't solely the schedule. I mean, if you've got things picked, you know, start back filming, you got multiple places that are all now like, we got to start now.
Right.
Okay, pick one.
You're being pulled.
You were supposed to do all of these projects.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had to weigh them and go, okay, look, this movie has this producer, this movie has this producer, this person has this history and has done these things and probably will do well or may not do well. This one's paying this. I have a lot of things to weigh.
Yeah.
Marvel hasn't done super great lately. So, I mean, that might have been a factor as well, where he was like...
When asked if he would do a Marvel movie in the future, he was like, I hope so. I hope maybe backing out of this won't, you know, upset people. I can understand if it does upset them, but I'm looking forward to hopefully one day. And I feel like he did it. He explained it in a professional way. It's not like he's dissing Marvel or saying anything embarrassing or anything like that. He's totally professional. So I'm hopeful that he'll be in Marvel in the future. But I mean, that's just another thing that just happened in the headlines. Let us know what you guys think about that, and let's move on to another topic. Babe, what is the next topic on our the headlines portion of the show?
Gypsy Rose says her husband's D is fire.
Oh, really? Now, yeah, you like that, huh?
From Yahoo Entertainment. Gypsy Rose Blanchard was recently released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, after her role in her mother's murder, and defended her husband Ryan Anderson against critics in a bold social media post. In an interview, the couple, married for 2 years, expressed excitement and anxiety about post-prison life in the spotlight. Gypsy Rose recently defended him in the comments. The 32-year-old wrote, "Ryan, don't listen to the haters. I love you, and you love me, and we don't owe anyone anything. Our family is who matters. If you get likes and good comments, great. If you get hate, then whatever, because they don't matter. Because you are rocking my world every night." Yeah, I said it. The D is fire. Happy wife, happy life.
The D is fire. Now, like, that's TMI. I didn't need to know that. I don't think
it's TMI.
I think it's 100% TMI.
I think it's appropriate. Completely appropriate.
Now, I have a thing. Now, another one of the things I forgot to mention at the top of the show, I'm thinking about a new show where it talks about, like, how people in the comment sections who are fans of certain people and people who are against, how they fight each other in the comment section. I'm working on on that. I might do, it's like a documentary kind of thing. I'll work on that later.
Okay.
And I've noticed this might be one of my first topics about how she has, Gypsy Rose has a two of, train one blank for a second. What's going on here?
Hopefully we're still live.
I think we are, but I know we're live, but it's probably just catching up or something. I don't know. Something happened.
Something did happen on our side. It's back now.
A lot of her fans that are 100% supporting. Like I saw a bunch of people on TikTok. Like I'm here day one of her being released from prison. I'm gonna pick her up, and mm-hmm. gotta. And then a lot of people are upset, saying that it's not fair that she got such a light sentence. And I understand that the other young man was the one who actually committed the crime and the unaliving and everything. But what about this RICO Act that we have? If you can prove there are gang leaders who in the RICO Act who can get a life sentence because they can prove that you are the ringleader who set the crime in motion of unaliving. So
I think also here comes moral aspects of understanding the difference between, like, murder is never great. We get that. Mm-hmm. Murder's never great. And you have a victim of torture. Mm-hmm. This child was tortured her entire life.
Yeah.
By her mother.
And her view on life was completely crazy.
Fucked up. Yeah. Because of her mother. Yeah. And it's like somebody being upset. And this is how I truly feel that her situation is. And it may seem unfair. And I'm going to say this as someone who is a person who's experienced this, which I don't think I've ever said publicly on this platform. It is like someone getting raped and going to jail for murdering the person who did it to them. Mm-hmm. That is how I view her murdering her mom.
I think they were viewing him as more like, you weren't a victim of that, so you should have been able to say to her, look, I get it. You're in a really messed up situation, and we got to get you out of this, but this isn't the answer.
Unless his mental state can be questioned too.
His mental state may have
I would hope his lawyers would have fought for that.
Exactly. And that's what I was wondering. Like, what kind of lawyers did this guy have?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can understand, just like with everything that Tabitha was saying, for the way she was raised, I can 100% understand
that. She was tortured.
There are people who are in prison right now who were defending themselves, and the system just didn't get. Like, there was a black, I forgot what state, I think it was Georgia, there was a black woman who was being assaulted by her current husband or ex, and she merely just fired a warning shot into the ceiling. But because that because she was in an apartment building, because it could have harmed someone else that was in above her, she was thrown in prison. Not forget the fact that she was trying to warn the person that was trying to attack her. She didn't even hit him. She fired a warning shot. Went to prison. So it's weird.
It's a concept to me that I would happily go to prison to end the life of my torturer.
Mm-hmm.
Happily.
I mean, we are all fully aware the legal system's messed up. I mean, you got people in prison for life for selling marijuana. I mean, you're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
And then you've got people who did a month for super big things that you're like, wait a minute, this is not check out. The math ain't mathing.
She deserves to create whatever happiness she can create within her dynamic that hurts nobody else.
Yeah.
If her and her husband are happy, let them boast on the internet. Like, that is the lamest of some of the things that get put on the internet.
No, it gets lamer. Did you hear about how people are comparing his looks to her mother?
When I say it's completely appropriate for her to be like, I like the D. The D is fire. Let her. The things that we put on the internet are way worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Way worse. Let her have her happiness. She deserves some happiness. She had a lifetime of torture as a child and survived. That is such an unfair way to start your life. And not only did she have to deal with consequences to her actions after being tortured by the person who brought her into this world,
mm-hmm.
She has to process and manage the fact that she's a person who ended another person's life and relish in being okay with that. You know what? I did that. I did that thing. I did it to save myself. And you know what? I'm going to be okay with saving myself with this.
Right.
I think it's okay.
I've seen a lot of therapists and mental health people on TikTok that are like, I know it's not going to happen because, you know, she's got media and news channels and TV stations and movies, things coming after her right and left. But they're, you know, like, they really need to be cautious, like, be careful with her. She has been through all of this stuff, been in prison for 6 years, and now she's out, and she's got immediately thrust into the spotlight.
And 6 million followers
are coming after her right and left, wanting all sorts of information and appearances and things. And that's a lot of mental work to put on somebody who had a lot of mental trauma to begin with.
She needs a lot of therapy.
Asking a lot of someone. Yeah.
She needs a lot of therapy, and that's not her fault. That's not a bad thing. She just needs a lot of therapy to understand how to process this, and she deserves to have some peace, and she's never going to have a normal life. That's not an option for her. So she's got to figure out a way to rectify that and to come to terms with that and to do it in the healthiest way possible. And the only way she can do that is if she seeks help for it. Because there's no way she's going to be able to handle that on her own. She just, there's nobody on this planet that can do and go through what she's gone through on their own. It's just not possible. We're not built for that. We need help.
So like stage one of healing, get that D.
Get the D. Is the stage one. Sometimes you're going to just need a release, man. Need a release.
Not just the D, the fire.
Yeah.
The fire D. Somebody put fire D in the chat. I don't know. Oh, and babe, I don't know if you remember before, but guys, let us know what you guys think about this topic and share your thoughts in the comments. But in the comments, I don't know if you remember the game that we're playing, the hashtag game. So don't forget periodically between, just put throw one of those hashtags in there, guys. If you can, if you,
where's the hashtag?
Look, last page.
Oh, I was like, I don't know what I'm.
Yeah, you got them. You got them. They were in your notes. All right. But besides, I mean, you know, don't worry. But if you remember, if so look for Joy's comments. She'll be in the comment section. She'll put a hashtag in there. If you guys can figure out the movie quote, just shout it out in the comment section. We're playing. I'm playing a game with you. I want to play a game. All right, moving on to the next topic real quick. What's the next? What is the next one? Is it, we have another one for headlines? Or are we moving on?
Yes, we've got the Pat McAfee apologizes for Aaron Rodgers' claims about Jimmy Kimmel in reference to Epstein documents.
Oh, yeah.
From CNN Entertainment, comments New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers made on the Pat McAfee show about TV host Jimmy Kimmel and the late accused S trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. Rodgers' comments were made during a conversation referencing the release of an impending document that will purportedly reveal the identities of dozens of people linked to Epstein. Here's what Rodgers said. There's a lot of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, really hoping that that doesn't come out. Rodgers also said that he'll be popping some sort of bottle if the list is released. Kimmel later responded on social media with, "Hey, asshole, for the record, I've not met, flown with, visited, or had any contact whatsoever with Epstein, nor will you find my name on any list other than the clearly phony nonsense that soft-brained wackos like yourself can't seem to distinguish from reality." Kimmel wrote on the social media platform, "Your reckless words put my family in danger. Keep it up, and we will debate the facts further in court." McAfee suggests that Rogers' remarks were meant to be a shit talk joke that then turned into a very serious allegation, but that he understood why Kimmel got upset, and we apologize for being a part of it. I can't wait to hear what Aaron has to say about it. Hopefully those two will just be able to settle this, not court-wise, but be able to chit-chat and move along.
Yeah,
what is there a chit-chat about? You falsely accused someone, made claims, and then got called out about that BS.
Yeah, another clash of the fan situation where people were like, oh, well, Jimmy Kimmel can dish him out. But Jimmy Kimmel has never dished out a joke on that level unless there was some connective tissue to what was currently going on in the zeitgeist of what everything is going on in the world. Now,
just a shit-talking joke.
Yeah.
That is making a very serious claim because nothing about the Epstein stuff is just shit talking. Yeah. It's very serious about what's been happening.
He doesn't like Jimmy Kimmel. Aaron Robbins, that's what that was about.
Literally, I do not understand how grown-ass people can make choices like this. Like, yeah. He really did take accountability in this apology. We're sorry, but let's see what this... He just wants fucking... It's bait clip for him.
Oh, no, I'll tell you exactly why he apologized like that. Because his show is on
ESPN,
which is owned by Disney and ABC, which is where Jimmy Kimmel's show is on. They're a network collaborator or buddies or whatever. They're under the same umbrella.
But
he didn't apologize.
He literally said, "We apologize for being a part of it. I can't wait to hear what Aaron."
He's disassociating himself from Aaron.
Has to say about it.
Yeah, he kind of apologized for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't apologize at all.
That's like saying, "I'm sorry your feelings are hurt."
Yeah. Those are those backhanded.
I apologized, but didn't.
Yeah, he apologized for
the word sorry.
He did apologize that it was on his show and that he's getting in trouble. That's what he apologized
for.
I'm sorry that this is happening to me kind of a thing.
The whole reason this is not an apology. Because I can't wait to hear what
he tossed the ball. He passed the ball.
He wants to create what is happening on this show right now that we're talking about him.
Yeah.
He wants the conversation. He wants to be in his name to be in the conversation. He wants his show to be in the conversation because that's how you get those likes.
Right.
That's how you get the viewers.
He wants Aaron Rodgers to go to court, but him to just be in the conversation.
I
mean, he was being slick with it because Jimmy Kimmel, being a person who he understands comedy, he knows what it is. But Jimmy Kimmel didn't respond with that comedic response. He was straight up an asshole.
He called him out and made it serious because it was a serious allegation.
Oh yeah,
because
that's not funny.
Anything associated with the Epstein shit is not funny. Yeah. There's no joking about that. There's no shit talking, because if you're shit talking about that, that means that you're demeaning the seriousness of what actually happened to the people that have suffered through that crap.
Like, name one time that Jimmy Kimmel made a joke like that. Now, he might have made a joke on Epstein.
Epstein, but not on the victims, not on the situation, not on who's on the list.
Yeah.
Like, we're not over there going, "Ha ha, Prince Andrew." No, we're going, "Fucking hey, Prince Andrew is a part of this crap.
Aaron is using these excuses of, "Well, he's made fun of me."
Because of shit that you've done.
Right. He is he is a comedian, and their cold open is jokes about things in the headline.
Correct. Just like what
so
we're
I'm
doing
not
right
making
now.
Up things about you. I'm taking something directly
from the headlines,
some connective tissue
that is in the news, that is in the media. Oh my God!
That we're talking through right now.
That is what's happening.
They try to get the camera on the right person. I forgot to do that. But that's exactly so. Yeah, they and the fans can boohoo all they want. They're all like, "Oh, he can dish it out, but he can't take it." Oh no, he can dish it out, and he can dish it out in court.
Yeah.
Disney loves Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
The reason why McAfee's within 24 hours apologized. I even had an excuse. I was under 2 hours of sleep and all this. Because he knows Disney was like, "You better fix this shit right now. Because if Jimmy is mad and Jimmy's coming after you, we're backing Jimmy." That's a funny way to say it. We're going to back the Jimmy.
Look, I understand making mistakes. If you're speaking socially, like if you're speaking to the world or if you're speaking to the social, like hell, even on this show. And I consider us,
We're edgy.
We're edgy. We're a little mom and pop shop over here. And I'm opinionated. Yeah. I know I'm opinionated. But even when I have opinions about something, I leave options for me to be wrong.
Yeah.
Because there are times when I don't have all the information and I'm only making opinions off of what I know. And when I get new information, I discover that I'm wrong. And I have to be, okay, you know what? I didn't have this piece of information. I was wrong.
Yeah. It's that society that we live in now where people are like, "Oh, you don't like somebody? Somebody's on the opposition of your positions, of your political views? Just call them a graper or a child," mm-hmm. whatever. You know, that it's being overused and too much. And they think it's funny. It's like, "Oh, I can... If you have to demonize, if your only tactic, because you feel like your opponent or whatever is gaining ground or like beating you on the merits of whatever the topic is to go so low as, oh, I'll just call you a graper. I'll just call you a this. That means you have no ideas. You have no way of winning on the merits. You just have to go to the lowest common denominator to whatever it takes to win. No matter, this tactic of just calling, I don't like that guy. Well, I'll just say that he does this to children. It's ridiculous now.
It's like we've desensitized the reality of what, because of how social media and the internet works and how we are so digital, we have desensitized the idea of what our words can do.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Words don't matter anymore.
I hate that so much because our words do matter. Now, we can give them power or we cannot. And sometimes other people can give them power. Mm-hmm. We can say something, put it out for the world to see, and other people can give it power. And we have to deal with the consequences of those other people giving it power. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people have that realization yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, let us know what you guys think about this whole situation with A.A. Ron. That's now definitely is going to be his name. once again, I forgot about that. Put it in the box below, and let's move on to we're off the headlines now. Let's go to some review. Are we on the reviews now?
Yeah.
Let's do a quick review of what do we got?
The first one is
Rebel Moon.
Oh yeah, of Rebel Moon. We now I didn't see Rebel Moon yet. I'm going to go see it, but we have somebody here who has.
I saw it.
We got a.
I synced it.
What is your thoughts of the Oscar anticipated resume?
I have a very middle of the row thought. I don't think it's fantastic, and I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Now, what I think that is, when you watch this movie on Netflix, but mind you, you've got to consider it, this is part one. There is a part two. I think going into it with that knowledge does help you kind of get through some of the story development. This is a sci-fi where they are developing the world. They're developing society. They're developing the way the world works. Which, when you're working in a sci-fi, you have to be patient enough to kind of get that information to understand what's going on. What I really liked about this is I'm a little bit of a Firefly geek. Love me some Firefly. It was very reminiscent of Firefly for me. You're combining an old world idea. Firefly was the Western.
For me.
New world idea, which is the sci-fi part, with a cultural idea. For Firefly, it was like an Asian culture infusion into those three things. With this one, it's kind of like a cultural dynamic of our societies now. So you're getting kind of this blend of what their idea of society is and blending that in with this like older world Viking-esque kind of idea with the sci-fi aspect.
Right.
So when you're going into it with that knowledge and that you're blending these sort of components together, it was fascinating to me. I enjoy these kinds of storylines. I find them very escapisms. Like, I like to escape into these worlds, and I think they're fun. And kind of discovering the way that these worlds work is very entertaining because sometimes they fall in the lines of, like, things that we can relate to now. And then sometimes they fall into these ideals that we wish our worlds would, you know, relate to now. And I like that because it kind of gives you a sense of reality, but with this expectation of a utopia idea. And like, you know, it definitely revolves around the kicking it to the man sort of thing. Like, you know, the rebels coming up against the man, which is, of course, always a winner in the sci-fi world. And I really enjoyed it. It's not in my mind anything that's sort of like, it's the best movie in the world, but
nothing groundbreaking.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed too. I don't know if it was just my TV. You know, sometimes TVs can change the feel of like a scene that you're seeing. But like watching them camping in a scene felt very realistic.
It's funny you mentioned. I remember hearing one of the critics saying that moment was bringing that moment up, a campfire situation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was over the campfire. That's exactly it.
I heard negative and positive things about it, but yeah,
I liked it. It was very much almost like a realist feel. Like you kind of felt like you were sitting around the campfire yourself, like that kind of viewpoint, living in it. And I just really enjoyed it. I like I really like these kind of storylines.
Okay, come on, let's be honest. It's Sophia Botella that she likes.
I know, I really do like her. And it was so funny because, like, Jess and I were watching it together, and I was like, I've had a crush on her for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like one of those...
Those razor legs that was in The Kingsman?
She's like one of those actresses that...
Have you ever seen her dance videos? She's a dancer.
No,
she's a professional. Yeah, she's a professional dancer.
I would be go, like, go
on,
TikTok
okay,
now.
Yeah, go on YouTube and TikTok. Type in her name, dancing. Yeah, you will not
but
be disappointed.
I've watched her throughout some other movies, and she's always been a fighter in movies, and she's beautiful in her fighting skills, which makes sense if she's a dancer because you have that ability to understand your body.
Star Trek III, she was in that. She was in a lot of
She's got the ability to hold these kind of roles, and it really portrays in this movie. And I really enjoyed the complexity of building the story and building the worlds and creating these sort of like detail-oriented ideas that, you know, are similar to what we have but also very different. I liked it. To me, it's just kind of like one of those things that I just enjoy watching.
Okay. All right. Well, let us know what you guys think. I'm still gonna check it out. I gotta check it out. I don't know if Joy's gonna check it out with me. I don't know if Tabs talked you into it. But I mean,
it does have what's his butt though from the show with the bikers that I never watched, but
I didn't watch that either.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. I never watched that show, but
yeah, Charlie Hunt.
Everyone loves him. He's very handsome. Him. And then it has the guy from Game of Thrones, and he was also in Black Orphan.
Ed Skrein, I think. I don't know if that's the bit. Was he the main bit back?
No. He's the farmer in the
Alfonso
movie.
Herrera is one.
Nope.
I'm looking at the cast right now. I don't know.
Not him. That's another one of the main characters. He's the farmer in it. Like, him. Mikael?
Mikael Huseman?
Huseman. Mm-hmm. He was also in Game of Thrones. He was also in, Black Orphan, which is another. He was a really great character in that one, too. But, he was really good.
Two thumbs up. Highly recommend?
I don't highly. I recommend.
Recommend.
Right.
We recommend.
It's like I didn't say two.
I didn't say
up.
Yeah.
It's, I don't like, highly.
I didn't say how to kick it out of bed.
But I am eager to watch part two. It's just kind of a fun watch. I like it.
It's a fun time. Okay. All right. Let us know if you guys have seen Rebel Moon. Let us know what you guys think. And let's move on to this segment that I've renamed Screens to Stream, between everything between the movies, theaters, and what we watch at home. So the next thing I wanted to talk about really fast was what do we have, babe? What was it? We saw season two.
I heard it was really good.
Season two of Doctor. Now I didn't
it was
like
bananas. That's what it was.
It was
Gwen Stefani bananas, like B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
No, what did you think about it, babe?
I mean, no, I liked it. We powered through it pretty quickly because it was just like, are you serious with me right now? Yeah. You were like, this can't be real life.
So, for those of you that don't know, Dr. Death is a Peacock series that followed, season one followed a Dallas doctor who was just, like, this dude was just so bad at his job.
He was really not a good doctor.
Yeah.
He kind of faked his way through school.
Well, yeah.
And didn't
very
even,
mediocre doctor.
He didn't even complete really technically all of his hours.
There's a podcast about it supposedly really, really.
He never
good.
Did all the things he needed to do, and it kind of just got.
And what was in season two? What was season two more focused?
Season two, the guy is a real doctor.
Yeah.
And it probably really wasn't that he wasn't brilliant at the original stuff he was doing.
His goal was What was his goal again?
He wanted to be able to create. You know, when you do like a surgery to like a organ transplants, you know, you have to have an organ, somebody's organ, and there's rejection. You know, you have to take meds for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
He wanted to be able to eliminate that.
Okay.
He wanted to be able to have you be able to have a transplant.
Okay.
But you would never need medications because we've stripped everything
out of
it.
And this was for the trachea, right?
He was specifically working on the trachea, but he wanted it to go. He wanted it to work so that it would be for everything.
Yeah.
So it's basically you strip everything out of the organ, and then we're going to reseed it with your that person's stem cells.
Okay.
And then it will grow
to your body.
Your own cells.
Yeah.
So then you wouldn't need them.
Okay. Okay.
The principle, fabulous, makes sense, but didn't work.
But it didn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
But he was convincing everyone around him that it did indeed work.
Ah, so was he doing transplants?
He was. He was experimenting on people. He was every time he would do an operation, he would change something.
I love that reaction.
The previous one didn't work, so it's like, okay, next time we'll do this and we'll try that.
Yeah.
But he's just telling people like, oh no, I did the studies. We did all the things. And
that was the main part
great.
Problem of the he kept getting away with just gaslighting everybody. I'm so brilliant and
because he was. A really great doctor.
Because he was a true narcissist.
They just believed him. They were like, well, no, this man is great.
Every time
he
something
really
went wrong,
great.
Oh, that other doctor fucked it up.
Why do you think narcissists are so successful? It's because they're good at charming and
they're
good at gaslighting and they're
and
good
his,
at this.
His main thing was that all these people already had a death sentence. So what difference does it make?
I mean, he doesn't have a bad point
they
there.
They were dying.
That's what covered it up,
but
though,
there
so
were
well.
Some of their... His initial way that he was able to even do these transplants were because it was, they were called compassionate use. So these were people's last ditch efforts.
Yeah.
And that was how he got able to do those particular
things.
But then he started branching out to people who these weren't their last ditch efforts.
Ah, he got greedy. He got greedy.
And he was faking that he didn't even have the proper paperwork to do them on non.
Yeah.
So he was taking away...
People
that, yes, they may have had a terminal illness, but they still had a long time to go.
Yeah.
And he kept that very short, and they were tortured.
Yeah, if somebody had a year, he cut it down to a damn day.
I mean, some of these people live the next... The one lady that they specifically talked a lot about was 191 more surgeries she had to have because of this. She was constantly having to have things fixed and repaired, and the... She went blind. Her hair fell out. She lost her teeth. Couldn't walk anymore. I mean, she was tortured.
Oh my God.
It was bad. One thing I can say about season one in comparison to season two, I like the doctors in season one that were played by Alec Baldwin and from Pump Up the Volume,
Christian Slater.
That's my go-to movie for him. That was those two doctors when they had their target set on that on him being a bad doctor and stuff. Those two together on screen was so good. Now the guys that we had, the two doctors that we had, our heroes on this one, they weren't bad either. I loved him. I don't know when away from the pop up.
Mandy Moore was the
journalist.
Well, and in true narcissist fashion, he wasn't just fooling people medically.
These two doctors.
These
right
two
doctors.
He wasn't just fooling people medically. On the medicine side, he was also being very truly narcissistic on the
journalist side
because he was married, but he was also in relationships and, you know,
true narcissist with, fashion.
Yeah.
Doing his thing, got into a romantic relationship with a journalist to
keep the good PR
and
going.
Lying right and left, like, I'm no baby.
Very
boy.
Smart.
I was married. Not anymore.
Oh,
she's
man.
Crazy. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know how people do that. It's so exhausting.
I'm the doctor to the Pope. I'm the doctor to the Pope. I'm the doctor to Obama's. He was listing off all these people.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Obama was like, I ain't never met
that
motherfucker.
They're all going to come to our wedding. The Pope's officiating.
Yeah.
No.
And they just wanted to believe it so bad.
I can't watch this show now.
This is real though. Like
I know, I can't
that,
watch the show now.
That she was like afterwards. It was like, why in the world was I believing this?
Because
like,
there's a true narcissist.
Because of that fire deep.
Any of this
fire deep. See, that's the thing that I think is so unfair is when people are the victim of a true narcissist, not someone who's just using the word left and right to fuel their argument. When someone is dealing with a true narcissist, you are a victim of some serious mind deaths. And that does not mean that you're not smart. Typically, a narcissist goes after
the smartest
people.
Well, and she was like, I mean, I'm a journalist. This is what I do.
How the hell did I not see it? Yeah.
And this man had me believing
they do that
on
purpose. They do that because that's where they get the thrill. That's where they get the thing that sends them to do these things. And they are skilled. They have an ability to be empathetic in a way that allows them to make you feel like they feel what you feel.
Yeah.
It's severe, and people who are victims of that do not get enough credit. They just don't. They it creates so much shame and a shame spiral that's not fair, because narcissists trick people daily, daily, at every moment of the day, and they work at it. They practice. They start little, they build up, and they use these skills for their benefit in the long run. They play the slow game. They aren't trying to win fast. They have planned out their steps 14 steps ahead of you, and then predicted all the different routes and have prepared for those routes. These are meticulous people.
Yeah.
And you should feel no shame. I'm serious. No shame if you fall for it.
Because all of this stuff was mainly out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through a whole different court systems, because it was multiple countries, not just one.
Yeah, just one.
And
was he like a traveling surgeon for these special cases?
Well, he's trying
cases?
To get places to grant him money and the funds and the facilities. So, you know, he starts at one and then branches to another country with a whole other facility. And then it's like they're all trying to, like, how do we prove that people who are already dying were ultimately fast forward?
And then after a while, the hospital, which is one of the most prestigious hospitals in the world, they're so invested that what they're saying about this guy might be true, but we're so invested in this guy. It's better to just cover it up and just keep it going.
They were threatening to arrest the other doctors who were whistleblowing.
Take out the whistleblower.
It was embarrassing.
Well, he does finally takes years, but they do finally convict him. And he's been in jail for like 2 years, but he's about to get out. He did not lose his medical license.
What?
Because it's another country. They do things differently. So technically, he'll still be able to practice somewhere, I guess, if somebody wants to believe him.
With the Pope and the Obamas.
I mean, I would hope people would be like, no, we're going to pass on that.
Yeah. Right?
Somebody out there, I guess, would.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Like, nah.
Jesus Louise, at least do a background check on your doctor and make sure they didn't go to jail.
What if Dr. Death from season one and the dude from season two, they meet in real life? Be like, my season did better than your season on Peacock. Well, guys, no, it was pretty good. I think I enjoyed season one slightly better, but I did the part with Mandy Moore and the whole the love bombing that he did on her and taking her brain for a loop and that journey that she went through from being totally involved to finally breaking the spell. That was pretty much a great little journey. Right there.
I think I might have a difficult time watching that. Mm. Not gonna lie.
I kept singing, I'm missing you like candy through the whole time I was watching it. That's a throwback, guys. Look it up.
If you don't
look
know,
it up.
That's Mandy Moore.
All right. Let's move on to the next segment we got on the show. It's the rundown. It's time for the return of the rundown.
I literally just lipped what he was saying because I knew what was gonna come out of his mouth.
The rundown. We're back. This is something I just wanted to talk about. I got the wrong thing up. I didn't come up with a list that I really wanted to. So I thought of something that was kind of funny for New Year's. I don't know if you guys. I tried to do the end game. I matched the end game part where Tony Stark snaps his finger when he says, "I am Iron Man." I tried to time that with the countdown to New Year's 3, 2, 1, and he snaps his finger. I was off by 10 seconds. I fucked it up. I blew it.
I think it's a neat idea. I just honestly had a hard time like going, oh God. I was like, John Wick, John Wick, John Wick. That would be like my reference. And then I couldn't think.
The pencil.
This. Yeah. Well, no, I was like, there's too many fight scenes that I would use.
for the countdown. So what I came up with, I found a website that has the like five or like six or five I don't think I had it on here. And I don't feel like pulling up the actual website. So there were do I have time to pull it up? There were I'll just mention them out. Alright, here's some that came up. Let's see, run that segment. Okay. Obviously Infinity War when Thanos does the snap.
Yep.
Countdown 3, 2, 1 and Thanos wipes out after. Then the other one in Endgame when Tony does the snap, I am Iron Man, he does the snap there. One that I Star Wars, the destruction of the Death Star. That was, you know, countdown 3, 2, 1, and boom, the Death Star blows up. That would be a good one. Time into that. And then one I saw on TikTok, Back to the Future, when Marty, you know, gets sent back home, when the lightning strikes the clock tower, And the lightning bolt goes into the flux capacitor and sends Marty back home. And one that I did not expect, Forrest Gump. When Forrest Gump, the scene, and they had New Year's, and Lieutenant Dan was sitting there with that resting Lieutenant Dan face, not enjoying anything.
My other one I was going to try to do, and I forgot to text you about it, was Kill Bill. When she's in the scene where she kills all of, where she's killing, they're in the, like, you remember the Asian singing group? They're in
yeah.
that room.
Like,
and they're, yes, woo-hoo,
yeah.
that one. And at the end, when all the blood is just squirting out of everyone and they're all dead on the floor and she's sitting there, like, that's the one I was trying to get to. And I was like, damn it, Tabitha. I can't figure this crap out.
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah, that's, see, yeah, that's, it took so long to get Tabitha to understand the concept
first
that I was
all,
trying to
first
to explain.
Of all, y'all, if I could
And then
could
she comes
read,
up with a great one.
And I was like, first of all, if I could read the text that he sent me, I was like, huh? What?
Meanwhile, I'm entertained
that's why you're
by
tired.
Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper on CNN cracking up at how trash they were.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. Whenever, what's his name? The fucking guitarist. I just lost
John
it.
Mayer.
John Mayer and the cat bar. They were dying so bad.
This was not entertaining.
I was like,
I was like
I'm so uncomfortable and it's funny. Like, that's where I was. And then he's over there. This would literally be you and I laughing at him as he's annoyed by being at some place he doesn't want to be. That would be us.
I know. He was so serious. Like, okay, yeah.
Here's a cat. We're in the bar. And then he's over there, like, cry laughing on the side. That would be me. And then you're over here trying to get the show to move along. And I'm like, I can't. I'm cry laughing.
Then they talk to Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, my God. Neil Patrick Harris was the best. Oh, it was so good.
I'm over here pissed off now because I tried to figure. There's a glitch happening on Streamlabs. I thought I was fixing Tabitha's name. And
it's on yours
now.
Now
it's on mine.
Now you me.
Now hey. I'm Tabitha now. No more. I'll figure it out.
But right. Yeah, that guys, was some hilarious
send,
shit.
But send us your, in the chat, so guys, send us your movie scenes that you think would be a good fit for the New Year's countdown. Let's see if I might do one of those. Let's move on to the main topic real quick before we hurry up and get out of here. Mm-hmm. I promise a tight 30, but this show just can't ever fucking do it every
no.
time. And I don't blame us, I blame the glitch, because
okay.
I would have moved us along faster, but when the screen froze,
it did freeze,
I
and it freaked us out.
I was
like,
well,
what?
Shit, I just might as well just let it do a thing, because I feel like,
well,
if I would have tampered with
it
too
said
it
was
much.
Fine on their end.
Yeah,
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 it was,
I know,
weird.
I knew that we were still alive, but I couldn't touch it.
I was over
it.
There like, are we still
anything.
Alive because we were blacked out.
Yeah,
yeah,
but so I was like, you know what, just let it ride. The main topic, what we got, what is trending right now? Let's move on to why is that trending?
Cat Williams, he was
I watched some
bombs.
Of these. Yeah, I watched some of these. I have one issue with him, and that is it.
What's that?
So he made a comment about how Kevin Hart got parts because he was willing to wear a dress, and he wasn't because of his moral standings.
Yeah.
And I went, that's fine. You don't want to do a role because of your moral standings, because you feel some sort of way about drag. That's okay. But what he was demeaning was the fact that the studio didn't pick him because of that. I go, well, guess what? The studio's moral standings went with someone who was more comfortable with it because you weren't.
Well, that's something that a lot of black comedians have talked about. Dave Chappelle even talked about that, saying that I shouldn't have to wear a dress to get a part.
It's not about having to wear a dress. It's having to be about, that was the comedic part of that scenario. There's plenty of other comedic scenarios where you're not having to wear a dress. But if you're so bothered by it, if it's such an issue for you that you don't want to do the role, that's your choice.
Well, no,
you don't have to do the role for your choice. But guess what? The studio has a moral standing too, that they can pick someone else who doesn't have a problem
with
it.
But the argument, I'm not defending Cat, but I'm just saying that the argument is that there's sometimes there were so little few roles given to black comedians.
Look, I can get the black
Why should I have to wear a dress?
But I can get the black comedian
to.
Part. The emphasis on the black comedian part, because yes, there is a competition for a very
finite
small
number
group,
of roles.
A
yeah.
finite number of roles. But what I don't like is they're pitting minority against minority then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Wear the fucking dress. use that as a voice to go, you know what? The studio is making me do this. Minority shouldn't be pitted against minority, and there should be more roles about this.
And you said so that because we, Cat Williams did, because he started going after every, what were the number of people he went after in this, in this interview?
So many.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
So many people.
I was offended by personally. I mean, I love Cat Williams. His old stand-up stuff.
I mean, when Tabitha first started on the show, little Tink Tink was one of the things
Tank.
But I was like very perturbed with his statement that, you know, all of these
Cedric and
his so-called comedians that he considers to be not even funny, and that part of your role as one of those is to marry a light-skinned woman who's ugly, an ugly-faced light-skinned woman who doesn't speak.
Who was he specifically talking about at that moment?
And he goes, I can name you seven of them right now. Mm-hmm. To which other people listed names that he was, because of all the entertainers that he was already, you know, if you go with the comedians he listed, a lot of them are married to light-skinned women, which to me is irrelevant. But the fact that you also needed to throw in that they're all ugly, which is a bold-faced lie.
Mm-hmm.
I get that it's subjective.
And it's a relative thing. Like, still, he can believe that they're ugly. That's fine.
And that they don't speak. And what's your point? Because they should be famous and saying a lot? I don't understand your point at all.
There's so many celebrities that don't have famous wives or husbands, for that matter.
And why does it matter if they're light-skinned or not? What is your point?
The whole team light skin dark skin thing. I've used to make those jokes a lot too, but now I'm like, no, you know what? That does get into the whole colorism thing. We need to stop. So I've stopped doing the team light skin dark skin joke.
I hate that for people who are mixed. I feel that is such a harsh reality that they have to live in, mm-hmm. of not belonging to one side or the other, and mm-hmm. it breaks my heart for them. And I don't think it's fair. I think that
it goes also into the trope of that. Light skin is because it's so close to or closer
white,
to white is
easier for them.
It's beautiful versus being dark is considered a good hair versus a bad hair. Things like it goes into a lot
of
different
tropes. There's
so
many, and it's not to take away from anyone's pain, and it's not to take away from anyone's suffering, because all those things are still very valid. Anybody who is extremely dark skinned who has struggled and had these issues, I have compassion and empathy for you, and I feel that for you, and I'm sorry. And it sucks. It wholly sucks. And just as much as you don't want anyone to take away your pain and your mm-hmm. struggle, don't take away someone else's pain and someone else's struggle.
Yeah.
Just because you don't understand a lighter skinned black person's struggle doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Just because someone who's white who claims that because they've never seen systematic racism doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It exists, mm-hmm. and it's a real thing. And it sucks that we have to prove that to white people sometimes, and I hate that. And consider how you would want to be treated in that situation if you were the other shoe. And it's a matter of understanding compassion for both sides, in the sense of light-skinned people, they have their own struggles and their own hardships where they just don't belong on either fucking side, and they have to create their own community and their own ideas, because nobody will accept that they struggle on either way, and everyone thinks that they have it easier every other way.
I just felt like that was an unnecessary jab that served no purpose. You want to expose
Illuminati,
the comedic
and all that
bullshit. You want to expose how it's unfair and whatever. That's great. Throw all that out there. But what does their wives have shit to do with anything?
Yeah.
That was an unnecessary, pointless jab.
Well, what was
that? Women didn't do shit to deserve.
What was one of the other people he attacked on there? Cedric the Entertainer.
Who clapped back, mind you. He clapped back.
He said that he's, you know, which people pulled up clips. There's proof that Kat did a show back in like 2018 or before, way before.
Saying that he stole jokes.
That he did
a
show.
A joke. Not jokes.
A joke. And
he
that
stole
like
a
2 years
joke.
Later, Cedric did almost the identical
joke. And Cedric, and rightfully so in my mind, went, dude, that one joke is not the pinnacle of my career.
Yeah.
Now, would have been wise of Cedric to go, yeah, I kind of ripped off that joke, but not every joke I did was...
If that was the situation.
If that was the situation.
It is possible that two people can have similar experiences in the similar community.
Correct.
So how do we know one thing with comedians is now, but if he did steal a joke, that is a no-no in the community. And I understand that, but when you're claiming that somebody stole your joke, you better have receipts.
My other thing it's not that I'm sure a whole lot of what he said is truth. I'm sure.
He did say a lot that I liked.
It's cool. He didn't even have to pee, did he?
I'm sure there's a whole lot of truth in it.
The Steve Harvey stuff and the...
people that also go, because there were people in the comments of different things that were like, he's bitter. And then others are like, no, he's just telling the truth.
He's constantly like a person that he like. One of the things I remember him saying about Tiffany Haddish is like, look at all the comedy specials that I've done. People quote them all the time. Like we said, like Tootle Tink Tink and stuff like that. Tiffany Haddish has had comedy specials. Give me one quote from one of her specials. And when he said that, I was like, that's a fucking thing to say, but. I can't think of what quote.
And comedy's also subjective.
It's because it's subjective.
You're
going to
have, you can go on Netflix and see 50,000 comedy shows.
Yeah.
And each one of us can go, I like all of these, don't like any of those. Yeah. And then someone else is going to go, I like all of those.
But just because somebody had it,
and that doesn't make me right or you right or any of those people right. It's a subjective thing. But, so he's fine in saying, he may have been totally done wrong many, many times and that things were unfair.
But why throw everybody else under the bus to say that?
For me, I have a problem with you putting other people.
Yeah.
It's fine to say, I think what they did to me was unfair because they let him do something that they wouldn't let me do. That's one thing. But to say, I think what they did was unfair, and here's why. Because I'm the greatest that ever lived, and every single one of those dudes over there suck. They aren't funny
that's subjective.
Yeah,
you're right. It's subjective.
They couldn't be funny if they tried, and that's why.
I agree with
that. That's not a very fair statement.
And I think that what was missing with that Tiffany statement is there are different types of comedy.
Yeah.
There are what you would call your slapsticks that have your... And then there's your one-liners. Yeah. There's your things that you quote. There are different types. There's comedy that is politically driven, where it's an idea that you find funny. Mm-hmm. There are things that is more of a quip. There are different types of comedy. And he is trying to make a comparison of, in my mind, that is two different types of comedy.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. You don't get to say that he's not a goat. I think he's freaking hilarious.
He's hilarious.
But I don't think he's a goat. That is reserved.
It's subjective. And just because at the moment when he said that, I was like, I can't think of a Tiffany. Then something just popped into my head. And there's certain things that go viral. That scene that Tiffany Haddish did in that movie, Girls Trip. With the fruit,
yes.
That went viral, it wasn't on stage.
But that's a different type of comedy.
Exactly.
That's
something that went viral. So he's wrong.
And
they're naturally funny just being around people.
Yeah.
They're not really telling jokes per se. They're just funny when they speak.
Yes.
They have comedic timing.
Yes.
But it's not like they tell jokes.
Yes. I agree 100%.
Because I work with people that are hilarious to just be.
But I could not get on stage.
You live with somebody who's hilarious.
I'm not going to get on stage and do a show. I'm not that kind of funny. Like, I don't tell jokes.
Yeah.
I'm just.
These are jokes.
There's witty, and then there's jokes. There's conversation, and then there's performance. There is so many different ways that you can do this. His ideology of, well, I'm the greatest at the stage stand-up
you've admitted on this channel that you don't like giving that goat title to people real willy-nilly. So
no, I don't.
Chris and I watch, we haven't in a while, but
porn?
Ridiculousness a lot.
I hate that show.
What,
and
porn?
No, Ridiculousness.
Oh yeah, you love porn.
I
do.
They haven't had lately. A lot of the earlier episodes, you had a lot of guests on.
I don't like laughing at people, and I think that's why I don't like that show.
She's like, don't ever go to a comedy show. I don't like laughing at people.
No, like laughing at people's
expense. I know you. I don't like that.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Those people submit their own videos.
I know, and it makes me uncomfortable. Like they're seeking something, and then I have this whole moral complex, and what it creates your morals? A fucking.
That's not their moral. Let them win those money. Let them win that money. America's
it's
money.
It's an internal battle that just makes me not enjoy it.
Sounds like a you problem over there.
The guests.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they would have a guest that's an actual comedian, like somebody who's supposed to be funny. But the entire episode was very boring. They weren't very funny. Mm. But then you'd have some other random person, you don't even know who they are,
they'd be the
that were
person.
Hilarious the entire episode just because of random conversation, just random conversation. And they were hilarious. Mm. You'd be like, I was surprised. I wouldn't have thought that would be funny, but that was the best one we've seen in a while. They were hilarious.
That works with celebrities too. Like, when you're watching celebrities get interviewed on late night shows and stuff, and you're like, oh, this person was so great in this movie, and then they bomb in a freaking interview. They have no personality, but they're a freaking fantastic actor. And then you have the ones that are in all these like teeny bopper movies that are successful, but when you get them on an interview, they're freaking hilarious and they have personality and they just vibrate this wonderful energy. And you're like, oh my God, I love watching interviews with this person. They're freaking hilarious.
Yeah. Adele is naturally funny.
Oh my gosh. Have you watched her freaking concerts? Like, she her feet hurt and she like bitches about it on stage. And I'm like, this bitch, my people. Like,
she's hilarious.
I'm about this. Like, that kind of stuff. I feel like it is an unfair assessment of him to create this ideology of if you can't make a one-liner that people remember, you aren't a good comedian. Right. That's not all that comedy is. Just like not all comedy is slapstick. Just because I trip over something and fall and it's funny, does that mean that that's the best type of comedy?
It's all subjective, hinted. Yeah.
Yeah, there's slight, subtle hints of wit that come in. I love British humor. I love the slyness and the dryness of the humor.
Joy loves fart jokes.
Well, like he said, I've had 12 Netflix specials. Some of these people have.
I can't remember but three.
But I'm like, no. We've seen tons of other comedians, and they're not that have multiple Netflix. And some of them are funny and some of them aren't.
I put it to you like this. You're going to hate Jerry Seinfeld doesn't have to do 12. Yeah, he can do one every 5 years.
But here, I'm going to make a statement on that. And you might hit me for this one. But I'm going to say it. Grey's Anatomy has how many seasons? And I think that show is shit now. Just because you have multiple things.
Well, no, that's what I'm just saying. We have, we've watched a lot of comedians. And we've watched some of the specials. And we're like, that's hilarious. And then see another one and be like, it's not good.
The Simpsons has been on for almost 40 years, but I mean, it's not.
It's like the same story over and over again.
It doesn't hit the way it used to. Now, I've caught up with it with my kids, and I have to admit, I was kind of wrong. It does still kind of hit, but still, years ago, I don't need to watch the new episodes.
I still watch my Grays.
See, I know. I was like, please don't hit me. But
do I like them all the seasons? No, I still watch them because I need to be
you're committed
up. But do I like them all? No.
Yeah.
And when I watch all my old ones, I watch only up to a certain season and then I repeat.
It's just this concept of I've had 12 specials and that makes me the
and
great.
We watched his newest one and I was very excited to watch it because he's funny to me.
I think he's funny too.
But the last one that he had,
it was not funny.
Not funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny. Now, and before we go,
he had a few little jokes here and there that you're like, that's all right. But the majority was not funny.
Before we go, one of the things that I remember hearing that was that Kevin Hart finally responded back to him saying that.
I didn't see that.
It was a while ago though. It was like when is he going to start taking responsibility for his own career and the things that he's done? He's going on this tour of just tearing everybody down.
But doesn't own his own shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, everybody else is responsible for their own. Like is it the Illuminati? Maybe the powers that be. Like here's something that like people remember. It used to be kind of known, especially for the black comedian community or whatever, that there was only like one at a time. First you had Eddie. First it was before Eddie Murphy. It was Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
And it was Eddie Murphy. Then it was Chris Tucker. Like it went in. It had waves and it had turns. And then when it after the Chappelle, then when it got to Kevin Hart, for some reason I thought that his 5 years. I was waiting for it. I was like, his 5 years is about to be up. A couple of years, couple of movies, got a couple of specials, and now we're gonna move on to the next one. But he stayed.
He broke the cycle.
The special he did where he did the stand up in his home. Do you remember that special that came out?
During the pandemic.
During the pandemic, I didn't think that one was very funny.
Kevin Hart's fame, his status at the top. Is not over. I mean, after Chappelle, it went to him, and I thought that I was waiting for the next comedian to take his spot. It never happened. He's still the number one, and it's been years. But on top of that, there's been other comedians that have gone.
Number one because of movies and stuff? Is that what we're considering?
I mean, it's
because I don't think he's the best stand-up.
No, but his tours sell out more than any other comedian.
I think he's a very mainstream driven because of his movies, and that may be what he's got going for him.
But there's been other comedians that have also equally been as mainstream and have sold just as much, if not more. But it seems like they had a timeline where they would pop and then they would kind of like drop. Like Chris Rock, oh not Chris Rock, Chris Tucker was up there for a while.
I've only seen a couple of Kevin Hart's specials.
But he is still the number one comedian.
I laugh at him more often with his banter with other people.
Oh yeah.
Like the Olympics with him and Snoop.
Yeah.
And that might be the thing. He has this ability to connect differently. But because he stayed at the top and never dropped off, other comedians have risen with him, like Tiffany Haddish and other things like. And so now I feel like he without even trying, or maybe it was on purpose. He has expanded that platform where now we're not saying, oh, it's just one at a time anymore. Now it's multiple black comedians are up there getting the Key and Peele and stuff. Like all this stuff was happening now at the same time. It wasn't just a one at a time. I feel like he broke the cycle. And I feel like Cat Williams was up there too, but he was one of the ones who kind of rose and kind of. Well, he has his core base, fan base.
I'm a fan of his. Yeah. I just didn't like the way he felt. Like there were things that I thought that he did well, like him giving accolades to, you know, Steve Harvey and other comedians who he felt were underdogs and not appreciated in a way. But when he really started getting he changed this viewpoint of this self-victimizing aspect of himself and really it really became very much a, hey man, you need to stop pointing the fingers at everyone else.
Just point at you and go, okay,
what am I doing in this moment to create the situation for myself? Not to say that he didn't have struggles, not to say that there weren't hurdles, not to say that he didn't get screwed over in some situations, but he was not the victim in every moment. Yeah. And even in this moment where he is speaking out, he's not the victim. He is literally putting people down that he didn't need to put down. Like she said, those wives never did anything to him.
Yeah.
They never hurt his career. They never hurt him in any sort of way. Yet he felt the need to demean and belittle and take down the choices of other people to make himself feel better, because he seems like a really sad man right now. Yeah. In that whole system, because I've watched a lot of those videos, he seemed where it went from him creating accolades for other people and it went towards him victimizing himself, that's when it turned to him being a sad little man.
Yeah.
And it was unfortunate because I genuinely like him.
But I mean, because Kevin Hart has an ability to connect with maybe the next generation, the youth or whatever, better than the other comedians out there, doesn't mean that there's some Illuminati conspiracy brainwashing the kids to like Kevin Hart. Cat Williams was that little dude. Yeah. Now Kevin Hart is the shortest comedian out there. He's got a funny voice, and the kids.
And I get he specifically called out, which I totally forgot about the two shows. But again, a lot of it just has to do with TV and the marketing. So there was the show way back in the day that was hanging with Mr. Cooper, with Mark. I forget his name,
but I remember the show. Yeah,
he was a comedian and he was a principal or whatever in the school, and then that was on for a few years or whatever and ended, and then
LL Cool J's In the House knocked it off.
No, a few years down the road, they basically copied the show with Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
and I forget that actress's name, where he's a, they're all in school. Cedric the Entertainer was in it. They're all teachers and in school. And it was almost like that identical thing.
Y'all do realize this happens in white culture,
and
too.
And I was like,
Friends, and he's complaining, saying,
well, it's because the other guy hanging with, I can't think of his name, that comedian, he got shafted, and Steve Harvey, who's not even a real comedian and sucks, you know, got pushed, and I'm like, but this is what happens with TV, marketing and marketable stuff. They already copy shows right and left.
Yes.
So I'm not sure why you feel like it's a conspiracy when it happens all the time.
Across the board. Literally, Friends to How I Met Your Mother. The amount of storylines that are identical. And you're talking to a person who's watched both of those shows a bajillion times.
I mean, and now we've
got a ripoff of Living
Single. Now we've got Abbott Elementary, which is principals, teachers, kids. Are you saying that's a copy as well? I mean,
it's like we recycle shit constantly, man.
I mean, just because the producers of those networks and stuff might have a better working relationship with this comedian versus Cat Williams and stuff. That happens a lot. It is what it is. Now that could be the situation. Now there might be a ton of executives out there who would go, oh yeah, Kevin Hart, I love working with him. We did great business together. And then they go, what about your experience working with Cat Williams? Oh, and then they might have a laundry list of complaints and bad experiences. That might be why you're not working with these people anymore. But let us know what you guys think about this whole situation with Cat Williams. Is it really just about the Illuminati? Or does Cat Williams need to do some more reflecting and some more soul searching about his personal responsibility and the things that he's done to put himself in these situations? I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Let's move on to that would be it. That's the whole damn show. But we didn't have anything really for. We got Jermell. I don't know if there was any more things to highlight. No,
Nixon guessed all the hashtags. She's fabulous.
Well, real quick, what was the one that she got right? Give me.
I only didn't put one. She got all the ones.
What was the hashtag?
I put the May the Force Be With You.
Hashtag MTFBYWY.
And she got that one right. That turned out
immediately.
What was the next hashtag that she got?
Put TNCIB.
Oh, which one? TM.
The TNCIB.
There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, this one? There you go. Yeah. There you go. She got it.
I got that one. She got that.
Which one was that?
HW.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a problem.
She also did get number two. Only one I didn't get a chance to put in the thing was number three, but she got number two as well.
She got that one?
She got
I don't think I would have gotten number three.
The knee for speed? You wouldn't have gotten?
The number two I would have gotten, but the number three I don't think I would have gotten because I don't think that's a quote that's really used very often in today's society.
What? The need for speed?
No, number three.
Mrs. Robertson, you're trying to seduce me, aren't you? That one's a little no-no now, and so we don't really do that anymore because that was a mom seducing a high school student.
Yeah, which never happens.
No, that's gross. That's gross.
All right, guys. Well, thanks, Nixon, for helping us out with that. We went over time because I know it doesn't show it on your screen over there. I can't click on most of this stuff. I don't know what happened. I'm gonna have to go into the. This is a very powerful computer, but I somehow fucked it up. I got to figure out what I did wrong.
Well, you got to figure that shit out.
I said, you know what? Just let the show ride. As long as it's not dropping the signal, I just let it ride. So my dreams for a 30-minute run.
30 minutes to an hour and 30 minutes.
All right. Okay. That's great. Fine. I blew it. All right. Anything else? If you want to take control of the mouse, anything else you want to highlight?
No, we're good.
Nixon said I did the need for
she
speed.
She did. I said the only one we didn't do was number Mrs. three. Robinson, number three.
The one I said no one would have gotten because it's inappropriate.
That's not the reason why they would have gotten it.
Yeah, because nobody uses that in today's society.
Yeah. In the zeitgeist.
They don't even know what zeitgeist are. That's how old zeitgeist is.
I Googled
it
up today. Google zeitgeist. It's a term that's used.
Nobody uses that anymore because it's literally a term from the 80s, 90s.
No. Yes. I heard it used today.
You used it. That doesn't count.
No, on the John Campia show.
Oh my God.
It's in the zeitgeist.
Just because you butt doing
him. Just because you don't know what it means doesn't mean
it's
not used.
Just because you imagine yourself butt doing him does not mean
that is
it's
very
popular.
That is very tasteless right now. He is in the hospital right now.
Well, maybe he needs a little loving. Maybe you should contact him.
That's what Ann is for. Ann's got that. Ann can tickle his butt. I'm not going
to
do it.
To each their own. Whatever the kink is. You like what you like.
Oh, wait, one last one before we go. Delete the content you're not using on that.
Talking about your computer. You said it's
powerful. Delete it.
She's like, delete some crap off there then. Like, yeah. You got too much stuff on there.
No, my Charlize Theron fan porn is never going anywhere.
I mean, it's high quality,
That's
too.
High quality,
so,
yeah.
You know, it takes some room.
It's in 4K. Yeah. But signing off today, we have Tyler Cossey.
What? That's not me.
Well, people want to find you online, where can they go?
Actually, send all the lesbians to her.
All the lesbians. At Tie or Die.
She's going to be like, why am I getting all of this stuff?
Please do. She needs the support right now, ladies. Yeah. Do your thing. Yeah. Do your thing.
Keep getting all kinds of crazy stuff.
I like it. I like what we're doing.
But besides trolling Tyler on TikTok, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Ticker Talkers on Ticker Talkers. It's leshavefun012. And then on Instagram at tabitha.jordan.18. That's me.
I tried to fix the name again and still won't let me get into it. And Joy, if people want to find you online, where can they do so?
I am on TikTok at Viola Fagan. And Instagram, Scrub Hats and More by Joy.
Tight 30. I told you. I guaranteed a tight 30-minute show this night.
Two 30s.
We got 3 30s already. We got 3 30s going.
I don't
have
to take this abuse from you. I got plenty of people that like to abuse me. All right, guys. Until next time.
Part of that porn that's causing the problems on the computer.
See? Welcome back, Tabs. Appreciate it.
That's me.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey guys, thanks for watching this video. I really do appreciate it. Hit the subscribe button, like, and comment your thoughts on this topic or any topics that you think that we should talk about in upcoming videos. Also, you can follow us at T3 Medias on Instagram, Twitch, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and we also have a T3 Media Studios podcast where we post our movie reviews and episodes of The Rundown. Till next time, guys.